Our series, Meet Your Mind, A User's Guide to the Science of Consciousness, is supported by Promega Corporation, providing tools and technologies for research in life science, and the Knorr Foundation, exploring meaning and commonality of human experience.
Think back to when you were a little kid. Did you think there were spirits or supernatural beings you couldn't see? Psychologist Justin Barrett says most children do. In fact, he thinks kids have a natural aptitude for religious belief. Barrett's the author of a book called Born Believers, The Science of Children's Religious Belief.
Children come into the world with lots of tendencies or biases or dispositions to make sense of the world around them in particular kinds of ways. We're not just blank slates. Once I started connecting the dots, it sure looks like a lot of those natural dispositions encourage certain kinds of religious beliefs. So, for instance, unless we get educated out of it, we have a natural tendency to see features of the natural world as here for a purpose, for a reason. They seem to have design. And, well, that's pretty easy to connect up with a designer, someone who is responsible for that purpose or that design.
You think that we're born with a desire to ask not just why, but for what purpose?
Well, I think that's right. Children do naturally ask why. They can drive us crazy with their why questions, right? But also, they're attracted to certain kinds of explanations. In particular, they're attracted to what you might call intentional explanations. That is, someone brought this about, or someone intended it for it to be thus, or someone has caused this to happen. Now, I'm not suggesting that babies on their own, when they're 12 months old, are looking around and they see a tree and they go, I wonder if God made that. But it does seem to be the case that very young children look at the things around them, like trees and mountains and rivers, and wonder, what's it for? And they very quickly connect what's it for, these purposes and functions, with someone intended it for a particular reason. And so then if they're introduced to the idea of there being gods or other spirits and things that might account for this, they just find that very intuitive and sensible.
I guess what I'd like, because you've done research into this, is to have an example or two. You've studied young children who have found belief in the supernatural of one kind or another easy. Can you tell me about them?
One example I like to share, because I think it's easy to follow, is a task that's called a false belief task. And this is done with children sort of around the age of 3 to 6 years old. And the task goes like this. You present a child with a familiar container, like a cracker box, for instance. And you ask, what kind of box is this? And of course, they're not dumb. They can see the picture of crackers. It's a cracker box. That's right. It is a cracker box. What do you think's inside the box? Well, I think there are crackers in the box. And then you show the children that what's inside the box is actually rocks or some other surprising content. Say, look, I took the crackers out and I put rocks in this box. Now I'm going to close it back up so you can't see what's inside of it. No one can see what's inside of it. What's in the box? Rocks. That's right, there are rocks in the box. And now this is where the fun part starts. We ask, now suppose your mother came in and saw this box for the first time. What would your mother think is inside the box? People have done these tasks dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And the typical pattern is your five-year-old child will say, well, Mom would think there are crackers in the box. She'd be fooled by the appearance of the box, and she'd think there are crackers in it. But three-year-olds say rocks. Mom would think there are rocks in the box.
Development of critical reasoning is what you're talking about.
This is taken as a task of understanding that beliefs don't necessarily map onto the world out there, but people can get stuff wrong. The reason I'm interested in this task is because there are some peoples, allegedly, who don't get things wrong, and that would be certain kinds of gods. God, of course, would know that there are rocks in the box at any age. But the conventional wisdom is that for the youngest child, they can't understand that God might have super knowledge. God is just some human, maybe who lives up in the clouds or something like that. So we ask three-year-olds, what would God think is in the box? We ask four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds, what would God think is in the box? And at least with some of our samples that we've looked at, children at all ages say, God would think there are rocks in the box. What I think is kind of fun about this study is it shows a couple of things. One is very young children, preschool-age children already, can distinguish between what mom knows and what God knows. Okay? They can understand that mom would think there are crackers in the box, that God would think there are rocks in the box. The other thing it suggests is that they're actually getting God right before they're getting mom right. That is, the three-year-olds are right about what God would know, and they're wrong about mom. By the time they're five, they're getting mom right. In some ways, it's more of a developmental achievement to figure out mom's knowledge states than God's knowledge states. And that looks to me at least like some evidence that at least some divine attributes are actually easier for kids than we might think.
The natural question, I'm sure you've been asked this, is what would happen if you had a group of kids, if they could find enough to eat, stranded on an island, uninvolved with adults, would they end up believing in God?
Oh, that's a tough thought problem, right? Because yeah, they're bound to be screwed up in other ways, too. But I do think there is a good chance that they would discover for themselves certain ideas about gods.
They're now, predisposed to God no matter what their situation is.
Yeah, it might not look like the same kind of God that anyone else has come up with, but I do think, you know, if we ran this little experiment over and over again, if we got an ethics board to approve it, that on average we would find that these kids would come up with ideas of gods and that they would tend to be super knowing, super perceiving, immortal, and somehow involved with ordering or creating the natural world. I think that would come up again and again.
I know that many atheists come to a different conclusion about the evidence from your research. They think we become religious because we're indoctrinated. And in fact, their evidence is that most kids seem to adopt the same religious faith as their parents. You wouldn't suggest, would you, that parental influence is not involved in the way this is developed? You're just saying it starts in a different place?
That's right. I think of it as sort of the playing field is tilted towards religious belief or something like that. It's a little bit like language. Certainly, children tend to acquire the language of their parents. But it doesn't follow from that that they don't have natural propensities toward learning language.
So what do you think this says about atheism? Is that a decision we make to become atheists?
I think in many cases it is, frankly. This takes some intellectual work to pull this off in a consistent fashion, which is one of the reasons why we don't see widespread atheism, frankly, except under very unusual cultural environments, environments in which there's lots of formal education, lots of ability to reflect on things like the apparent design in the world and to come up with counter explanations to the natural trend, which is someone did it. So yeah, I would say it takes special cultural resources, maybe a little bit of extra effort to be a thoroughgoing atheist.
But you are yourself a Christian, is that correct?
That's correct.
Also, from reading your book, I got the impression that you would agree there is no proof for God. And that's not really what you're talking about. You're talking about a propensity to believe there is.
That's right. The book is not an argument for the existence of God. That's not what it's about. I'm trying to provide scientific and other reasons for suspecting that we have natural receptivity to religious beliefs. What you do with that, whether you decide that makes a good argument against religious beliefs or for, well, that's a different intellectual exercise. I think that's an ongoing discussion.
Justin Barrett is a psychologist at Fuller Seminary and Oxford's Center for Anthropology and Mind. He's the author of Born Believers, The Science of Children's Religious Belief.